Well, we've been hanging our hat. Let me catch you guys up who haven't been here. We've been hanging our hat on this scripture here in James chapter 4, verse 8, in the last few weeks leading up to Easter. And the Bible says this, that when you come close to God, God will come close to you. I truly believe this, that when you make an effort even to come this morning, that's a step toward God. And the Bible says that God moves closer, that every time we do that, he gets closer and closer. You see, because what I really believe and what we teach at Believers, and this will be kind of old news for you guys who call this home, but I really believe we're all on a spiritual journey. Even an atheist, and you may be, we've had atheists in the room with us before. You're on a spiritual journey whether you believe it or not. Just the question is, where are you going? So here at Believers, we teach people, and I teach this, and you'll see it all over our logos, out in the signs, and the foyer. We teach people this spiritual journey, that you need to know God. Because nothing matters until you meet the Savior that we celebrate today. You need to find freedom. That's simply healing the past, so you don't carry the luggage with you. Then we ask you to discover your purpose. What did God put you on this earth to do? Because it's bigger than just go to a job and work it. Because the Bible says that God put us here for an eternal purpose. Something that is bigger than we are. And once we discover that, we go into the fourth one, which is now we go make a difference. For us, that looks like the dream teams, the people you saw out welcoming you as you came in, the nursery workers, the kids' church, the greeters, the praise team. Those are people that are just doing what God's put in their hearts to do, to serve. But see, for this to happen, God had to make the first move. For us to get anywhere near Jesus on this Easter Sunday, God had to move. And he had to, thousands of years ago, the Bible tells us in the Old Testament that the Savior's coming. And it said exactly how he would come, exactly how he would ride, and exactly how he would be killed, exactly how he would rise out of the grave. The Bible tells us that thousands of years before it had to happen. So the resurrection had to happen. You see, there's part of every human. There's just something in us. Even if you're not a believer, if this is new to you and you're one of those people that you can say, well, I'm only here because this person beside me just wouldn't leave me alone. And if I come this year, they'll shut up and leave me alone for a year. Even you. The Bible says we're all on this spiritual journey, and there's part of us that wants to reconnect with our Creator. Because whether you believe it or not, you didn't come out of a puddle of soup. You were specifically created on purpose, with a purpose, by a Heavenly Father that wants so dearly to be close to you and to move closer to you. But see, I think we miss this powerful idea of Easter. No one part is not important. But we talk about the cross, and we talk about Jesus going into Jerusalem. And we talk about Jesus rising again, but we miss something, I think. Look at this in Romans chapter 8. The Bible says the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives where? In us. As Jesus Christ raised from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies, and by this same Spirit living in you. What does that say? Let me just put it this way. This is God saying, I'm going to take those dead places in your life, those hurt relationships, those broken relationships, those places where you feel like I just don't measure up. This is God saying the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is going to make those things have life and give life to that. You see, for Easter, I think we miss, and I think this is really what he means, that Jesus' resurrection isn't just an event to be celebrated. If we really look at what the Bible tells us, it's power to be experienced. That you can feel it, you can touch it. Some of you, I don't know, I mean, I hope you enjoyed worship and I hope you enjoyed all our specials, but just sometimes I have to just kind of take a deep breath because when we're worshiping, I just kind of tune everybody out. And it's just me and God. And you can do the same thing right there where you sit. I know sometimes it's hard because there's always some joker behind you that is the American Idol person that thinks they can sing and they can't. And you want to tell them to be quiet because they're singing in the wrong key. But you can. You can experience God during worship, just during the music. You see, it's not just what Jesus did for us going to the cross. It's a It's a resurrection that we experience. See, it's not just this either. It's not just going to church on Easter. It's not just maybe hunting eggs today and celebrating with your kids. And there's nothing wrong with that. But a lot of people never experience Easter. They just celebrate it. They just go through the motions and they maybe punch their church card today. But see, there's one reason, one word why we struggle and we don't experience it. And that's this word right here, believe. You see, we confuse believing with understanding. Now, I'm not an engineer. I didn't take advanced math and advanced engineering. But I know when I go get on an airplane, that airplane's going to fly. And I know some pilots in the room, and I know if I'm in the airplane with you, and that plane's going to fly because you know what you're doing. You will understand it. Do I have to understand why that plane flies and how that plane flies to make it fly? No. I just got to believe that the person flying the plane knows what they're doing. See, the same thing is true with God. You don't have to understand it. You don't have to be able to quote all the scripture. The Bible doesn't put any of that on us. Now, he wants you to learn the word. He wants you to grow in the word. But the Bible simply says you just have to believe. You don't have to understand. And people have told me, Clint, I can't get there yet because I don't understand. Well, I'm not worried about understanding. I'm worried about believing. Do you believe it? I don't know how God did it when he created a man and a woman, and now he's created us now that when a sperm hits an egg, 9 months later, a human comes out. I don't get it. I just know it works. Why? Because I've got two of them. Right? I don't understand the medical side of it, but I believe it works. Look what Jesus said. He said to this woman, he said in John chapter 11, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. And anyone, he's actually talking to Martha. He said, anyone who believes in me will do what? Will live. Even after you die. Does that make sense here? No. See, believing is all Jesus asks of people. There's a story in the Bible of a man who brings his son to the disciples. If you've grown up in Sunday school, maybe you've heard the story of the man brings his son who's possessed by this demon, and the demon will throw the kid into the fire and make him hurt himself and all kinds of horrible stuff. And he brings the son to the disciples. You think those are some spiritual dudes, right? Like they should be able to pray and take care of this kid. Well, the Bible tells us that this man took him to the disciples and they were like, that didn't work. You didn't do anything for me. And then Jesus kind of gets a little gruff with the disciples, but not just the disciples. He throws it out over the whole generation. And he says this in Mark 9. He says, you unbelieving generation. And then the father says to Jesus, okay, well, they can't do it. Can you do it? And I love, look what Jesus, there's humor in the Bible. I think Jesus had a sense of humor. Because Jesus replied, if I can. Like, this is the same guy who walked on water, multiplied bread, brought the dead, raised Lazarus from the dead, spit in the mud, put the mud on a guy's eyes and allowed him to see, touched the guy's tongue. He was mute and couldn't speak, and he began, really? If I can? And look what Jesus said. He said, everything is possible for the one who believes. And look what happened to the boy's father. When he had, I believe he had this understanding, this revelation of, I ain't got to figure it out. I just got to believe that that man can do what he says he's going to do. And he says, I do believe. And he says, help me overcome my unbelief. God, I don't want to not believe, but I'm struggling with it. And that's where a lot of us in this room on Easter morning sit. You're cool with the whole God sent his son thing. Even though maybe we don't get it, I can't see how Jesus came and died. I don't really understand how he came back, but God brought him back, and I get that. But believing that I can experience it, that the dead places in my life can become better, I struggle with that. You see, why unbelief? I'm going to give you some reasons. I think we struggle. I'm just going to give you three. And I think we have to be honest with ourselves for this first one. Because I've said this. Anybody said this? God didn't do it right? Like God, no, God, you didn't understand. I didn't really want to have a baby early. This is not planned for me and my boyfriend, me and my girlfriend, me and my husband. No. God, I didn't want to go to that school. I wanted to go to this school. God, I didn't want my mom to die before me. I didn't want this to happen or my wife to die or people to leave me. That's not how I wanted it to happen. God, you're just doing it all wrong. Like we know better. God, this is not going to work. Not how I would do it. And what we're really saying is, God, you're really not doing a good job at being a God because this is not what I wanted. And because of that, we just can't even see to believe that God's watching. We even ask, God, do you see the struggles I'm having right now? Do you see me struggling with sickness? Do you see me struggling with a child who's away and rebellious? Do you see me struggling with this addiction or this relation? Do you even see it, God? You're doing it wrong. And I think that's how we begin. We just settle into this. I'm okay with you being my Savior, but I just don't believe I can experience any of that. I'll go to heaven. Thank you. But it all stops right there. Another one I think we walk into is this. I tried to believe. It didn't work. You prayed for somebody. Anybody ever prayed for somebody that died? I have. I can't explain it. I don't know why bad things happen to good people and good things happen to bad people. But people have told me before, listen, Clint, I've been to church 3 times this year and nothing changed. I gave God $4. Nothing changed. Now, that I'm joking, but at the same time, that's kind of this attitude we get. Like showing up and sticking your toe in and backing up. Like, okay, God, I didn't see it working. And there may be other reasons why it didn't work. But that man with his son brought his son to Jesus and said, I tried it with them. It didn't work. And there's some of you in this room, and I, on behalf of a pastors, if this is true, I'm going to apologize for people I don't know. Some of you have been wounded in church. And the reason you're back today and you haven't been back between when you got hurt and now is because you had a pastor wound you, say something to you, manipulate you, hurt you in some way. And you're saying, well, I tried that before. I tried to go to church, and look what happened last time. Don't throw all of God's people out just because of one. I tried to make this work. They still didn't get better. I've tried to be in a group. I've tried to be in my small group, my grow group. It just didn't work. Let me encourage you, and I don't know who this is for. I wrote this in my notes even for me this week. But I want to encourage somebody in the room, and maybe you may be online with this simple phrase, don't quit. If for any other reason, just for me today, don't quit. Give God a chance. Don't let a man's fault direct your eternity. Let the God who sent the man to save you direct your eternity. Don't let another relationship keep you out of church, keep you away from God. You're saying, I tried to believe, but it just didn't work. I can't tell you why it didn't work on the time you want, but I know the Bible says that God will never leave us nor forsake us. Don't quit. The next one, and the last one, is that I think we listen to other people's doubts. I think we struggle because we're not real careful who we surround ourselves with. Most of you in the room who have been around a while, if you don't know, I'll explain it to new people, that I have a 19-year-old special needs daughter. I say people don't know her, but everywhere we go in the county, everybody knows Emma. No matter where, we can go to Bullitt County and half of Bullitt County knows Emma. But when we received the diagnosis that she had this chromosomal issue or deletion or whatever, I don't know. when we were told there was an issue. My wife is really, when it comes to prayer, like she can pray me under the rug. Some of you are holding babies today because she started praying for you. And some of you are going to have babies because she's praying for you. But I'll never forget her saying, hey, we're not telling everybody. And it's not because we were afraid or embarrassed. It was because we decided to find four or five people who we knew believed that even if now, 19 years later, we're still confessing over here, over her, Emma, you're whole, complete, and lacking nothing. Have I seen it change? No. But am I gonna stop believing it? No. But see, I think we struggle because we listen to other people's doubts. You get a diagnosis, you have an issue, and the people we call our friends, oh, Lord, what are you going to do? You'll never recover from that. Anybody got the Eeyores in your friendship? Are any of y'all the Eeyores? Like my son got in trouble today. What are we going to do? He's never going to get straight. You and your wife or you and your spouse have had an argument. We ain't never going to have a good marriage. It's just going to be like this until Jesus comes. And I hope he hurry up and comes so I don't have to live with her very long. And we laugh, but those are the very people we run to when we're just feeling, God, I need you to do something. I need you to help me. And we go to the Eeyores of the world, and we listen to their doubts. Jesus called the disciples, and he included the whole generation, you unbelieving generation. These people that are telling you it will never work. Because I think they don't understand this. See, what you don't need is an intellectual explanation of God. I tell people, hey, listen, I am not the smartest guy in the world. I like to put what I call cookies on the bottom shelf, like where all us normal people can get it. I'm married to a smart person. My 13-year-old can outsmart me. She's smarter than me. And so I'm like, let's put them on the bottom shelf. But see, that we think we need to be explained to so we don't doubt, so we can believe, so when it'll work. If I just understand God, it'll work intellectually. But see, again, you don't need an explanation of God. You need an experience with God. You need to experience him, and that's hopefully what you did today. We didn't start the service. If you missed it, you have to go back and watch the video because, man, I was nervous that it would work, but it worked. This tech crew and everybody did a great job. But we didn't start with the lights out and come in, rah, just to say we can. It's because I truly believe we can kind of set the atmosphere so we can come in and go, wow, y'all aren't boring. Is that God? And you begin to feel your heart flutter and you think it's just, you're thinking about mom's ham, Easter ham that's coming. But what it is the Bible says that same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, the Bible says it's here. It's knocking. It's going, hey, let me in. I want to talk to you. I want to get closer. It's why we do everything we do here. I tell our team and tell our leaders, hey, we're not happenstance. The flags outside are there for a specific reason. What they say on them, they say for a specific reason. What's in the foyer, the coffee, kids' church, greeters, worship. And, of course, the most life-giving messages and the most dynamic message you'll ever hear. Yeah, right. I don't even believe that. But we do it because we want you to have an experience. And I've been chastised for it before. Well, you just don't want people to have an experience. They got to know God. Well, let me ask you this question. If I meet you for the first time and we can have an experience together, isn't it a whole lot easier for you then to get to know me? Or would you rather me invite you to dinner, sit you down, and go, here's my story. On November 8th, 1974, I was born in Johnson City, Tennessee, and just start throwing up on you? Or would you rather get to know somebody, experience it? We have dinner. We develop a relationship. See, we expect people to do that with God. We expect people to do what, like in a dating relationship. And guys, I hope you've never done this. Like first date, knock on the door. She opens the door. Wow, you look good today. Would you like to get married? How often does that happen? It shouldn't happen very often. You see, there's this experience. What happens? I get to know you. I get to know that you burp. I get to know that you fart and it stinks. I get to know that you don't understand that the toilet paper goes over the top, not underneath. Right? I get to know the fact that you can't eat this particular meal because nobody can be around you when we do. That's experience. And what I want you to have today is an experience that you've been prayed for today. That a loving God, you would experience His grace, His mercy, His hope. You don't have to leave here hopeless. Let me close with this. There's a story in the Bible of a man named Thomas. Thomas was one of the disciples. He's sometimes called Doubting Thomas, if you remember from your Sunday school lessons. Thomas, the Bible doesn't tell us why, but Thomas, for some reason, was in that group of people who ran late. Like you'd be late to your own funeral. So Jesus goes to the cross, he's buried, he's resurrected, and then the Bible says he shows up on this earth. Well, he shows up to the disciples. Well, Thomas didn't set his alarm or something, and he missed it. So Thomas wasn't with the disciples when Jesus first showed himself. So when he came back up, he said, "Hey guys, what's going on? Hey, you just missed it. Jesus was here." "No, the one they just put in the ground, the guy we thought was going to save us all?" "Yeah, him." "No." And Thomas says, "Hey, I'm not going to believe it unless I can put my finger in his hands, the holes in his side or in his feet. I'm just not going to believe it." Look what the other disciples, he said this to the other disciples in John chapter 20. He said, "We saw the master." He said, "But unless I can see the nail holes, I don't believe it." He says, simply, "I won't believe." A few days later, the Bible's about 8 days later, all the disciples, Thomas set his watch this time, so he's there. The Bible says that Jesus walks through a locked door. Why? It was his resurrected body. He could do anything God could do, and he could just go right back. So Jesus pops through walls and walks through doors. One, I would have had to change my drawers. If I'm in a locked room and somebody comes through the door, you're going to have to give me a minute, I'll be right back. So Jesus comes through the door. And I want you to see what he says here. Jesus comes through the doors, stood among them, and said, "Peace be with you." But what I want you to see is that Jesus came through and locked his focus on Thomas. He locked his eyes and said, "Hey, you don't really believe I came back." See, how do you believe? How did Thomas get over unbelief? How did somebody, you guys sitting here today, say, "Clint, I get it. Intellectually, I get it, but I can't get over it didn't work. I can't get over. I got all these people barking in my ears. It'll never happen. It's never going to get better. You're always going to fail." How do you get over that? Well, I gave you the issues. Now let me give you the answers. So you need to know this. No matter who you are in the room, no matter who's watching me online, no matter the mess of your life, you need to know this. Jesus will never stop searching for you. The Bible says that there's a parable of the 99 coins and they lose one. He leaves the 99 and says, "I got to find that one. I got to find Chris. I got to find Karen. I got to find her. She's the only one. You guys are good. Y'all know me. I got to go find her." Well, Jesus, she's denied you. She doesn't believe. You let me worry about that. Because you need to know this. Your unbelief won't keep Jesus away. There's some of you sitting in the room today going, "Clint, I just don't believe it. You keep saying it. I know the Bible says it. I just don't believe it." That doesn't turn God away from you. It doesn't turn Jesus away from you. If you look back in John chapter 20, verse 27, we were talking about Thomas. Jesus says, the Bible says, then he focused his attention on Thomas and tells him, "Hey, stick your hand in my side." And he tells him, "Don't be unbelieving. Just what? Does he say you got to understand it all? Does he give a 15-point sermon on why the resurrection had to happen? Does he give a 15-point thing on the Old Testament and Jesus and the New Testament covenant? Does he do any of that? No, he says, just believe. And it's the irony that the guy that's doing it just walked through a door. I think I would believe. You know? I mean, if Keith and I are hanging out, and I'm in one room and he's in the other, and all of a sudden Keith just pops through the wall, that dude knows something. If he says, wait a minute, I forgot something. And he goes back through the wall to get his Coke and then comes back again, never opening the door, just walking through the wall. I'm going to figure out. I can believe that. That's all Jesus is asking Thomas to do today. See, the next thing you need to understand, this is going to take some effort on us. You need to take a step. We call it one step. This is our whole vision, mission, all in one hashtag. That I truly believe we all have one step to take every day. From where we are to what? Where God wants you to be. That's it, every day. Some of you, your one step this morning was relenting to the person who nagged you and nagged you and nagged you and sent you text messages, hey, come with me, come with me, come with me. Your one step this morning was just showing up. I believe that God's in heaven smiling from side to side. He came. He took one step. Now I'm going to take a step. See, belief won't come to you. You got to go to it. So if you're just sitting there today saying, well, I'm going to believe one day. I'm just going to sit here and wait on it. You're going to be sitting there a while. Because part of believing is taking that one step and going, I don't understand this. Y'all remember the old Indiana Jones, when he steps out, he's this invisible stairs. Like, is it really there? It's just taking the step. And then if you see the movie, he takes the step. And then once he does it, he begins to go across. I think today can be your one step. See, Thomas took one step towards Jesus. When Jesus came through the wall and he said, hey, go ahead, stick your finger in my side. Go ahead and feel it. Thomas had to go to him. Believing, it's not just going to come to you. You're going to have to go to it. And that can happen today. And then as we close, guys, you can go ahead and do your thing. Here's the last one. You need to give your life to the one who gave his life. See, a lot of us are trying to give our lives, well, good, I'm just going to come be a good person. You could be the most perfect person in the world. Still, the Bible says there's one way by which you spend eternity with Jesus. And that's believing in him. There's one way that happens. Because the Bible says we don't believe in something. Believing isn't in something. And this is big. Believing is on someone. All the Bible says is you have to believe. Matter of fact, why don't we do this just for a second? Why don't you just bow your head, close your eyes? Then I'm going to explain the boxes to you. I just want you to take a second and forget who's beside you. See, we believe in a lot of things, but have you taken the step to believe in the one who gave his life for you? Just for a second, I want you to just ask God that question. All right, now I'm going to tell you to do something we don't normally do, so this will be weird for you home folk. I want everybody to open your eyes and look up and look at me. Normally, we bow head, close eyes, and it's a moment between you and God. But I'm going to ask everyone, grab that little piece of paper. It has got ABCs on it. Everyone, dream team, if you're breathing in the room, even if you don't want to do it, fake it and just smile at me and just pretend to mark it. For those of you watching online, it'll be in the notes. There'll be links down there. You can click and you can actually do it online as well. But I want to ask you this question. Are you ready today to take a step? Are you ready today to say, I don't understand this all, but I don't know if I believe that goofy man on the stage, but I believe there's a God who loves me. And let me tell you what the boxes are. The first box is box A. And this says to you, hey, I'm already, if you're, this is you saying, if you mark this box, I'm already in a real relationship with Jesus. I serve him. I read my Bible. I'm active in a church. I'm there. I'm all the way in. And then there's the one that we pray for just about all year long. It's box B. And maybe this is you today. Maybe this is you saying, I believe. It's saying that I'm believing on Jesus today. I'm making my decision today. And we're going to celebrate with you. Then there's the last two. And some people ask me, well, don't these two aggravate you? No, these don't. These honestly are two of my favorite boxes. And the first one is, I just like to consider it more first. My instruction to you is hang out as long as you want. Kick the tires, come to church. Because as long as you're taking those steps, God's coming right at you. When you realize, hey, I don't have to figure all this out. I don't have to understand all this, but I just have to believe. At any moment, you can check box B. Then box D. Box D says, and we had two or three people last year, I believe. No, year four last, that last year went from being box D to box B. And they told us, check it. And I have to say, I respect this one the most. If you've got the wherewithal and the fortitude just to mark and go, nope, I don't ever plan on making that decision, then mark it. But know this, there'd be people praying for you. And we've had lots of people that mark D come back the next year and mark box B. Amen? And what I'm going to do, I'm going to ask you to stand with me. You can, if you haven't marked it, you can mark it. We're going to sing one more song. Probably my favorite song of the day, if I'm honest. You can mark it during that song. And then when we're done, the ushers will have buckets on the way out where we take our offering. You can drop all of these in the buckets and the ushers will take those. We're going to begin to sing. If you haven't marked your box, again, I'm asking everybody in the room, mark a box. Just humor me today. Humor this goofy little guy on the stage. If you're watching online, just do it online and we'll get all that information. But we're going to sing. And while we're singing, if you haven't marked yours, I'm praying that the knock you feel in your heart, that you understand, that's the same power of God that raised Jesus from the dead, that just says, I just want to know you. I just want to get to know you. I just want to be closer. And that you'll mark that box. Amen? Amen. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to sing, and then we're going to go enjoy Grandma's ham. God, I thank you in Jesus' name. Thank you that we can come today and celebrate who you are. God, I thank you there are people in the room marking B today, taking that first step in to believe. God, there are people in the room who have been serving you all the days of their life and they'll keep marching. God, there are those who say, I'm trying to figure this out. For those people, God, I ask you to bring them peace. God, and even give them some understanding they can just trust you. And God, for those who mark box D, God, we thank you that you still pursue them. You still walk after them. You're still longing to have relationship with them. And God, we thank you for it now. In Jesus' name. And everybody said.